Today, we're using the ability to connect to others via Zoom, and we're having this amazing panel discussion with wonderful panelists today. At this time, when we as a nation, a state, and a country, we are all struggling and dealing with the constant changes to the health crisis that has come unexpected to disturb our lives, I am happy to invite, these wonderful people that are joining me today. The list of our panelists that we're inviting today to the studio, we have, I would like to introduce them, Julia Roncoroni. She's a PhD researcher at the University of Denver, Department of Counseling Psychology, contracted to work with the Latino Community Foundation to support the recent published amazing report that they put together that I have in front of me, COVID-19 Impact on Latinos and Immigrants, a report on Colorado nonprofit organizations and communities. This was out, it's just warm, May 1st, 2020. And it has a lot of information that is really... It's really an eye-opener. We also have Laura Soto, Operations Manager from Philanthropies Foundation, and she's also representing today Voces Unidas, United Voices, a grassroots group that has formed and that right now is extremely active. She's going to share with us what you guys are doing. Amazing. And finally, we have Jorge de Santiago, Executive Director of El Centro Amistad, well known in the community. And he is going to be talking to us about all the programming that the Centro Amistad has been producing right now, but everything virtually to continue serving the community. Welcome. Welcome to all of you today to this panel discussion, followed by the Trends podcast that we just aired. And I want to also just make a little note that at the end of this podcast, you listen to Elena Aranda speaking in Spanish and telling us that the struggles of our people they are not new. She clearly said this struggle that they are facing right now with the crisis of COVID-19 is not a new thing. They already have struggled by coming here, many times risking their lives, also adapting to a new reality, to a new language, and working. We're working really hard. A lot of them are in the front lines. And that's what Elena Aranda was saying at the end in Spanish. She was saying that in a way, we are much more prepared. And I'm putting myself in this immigrant population. We are much more prepared right now to face a crisis that is really devastating our communities. And with that, I would like to open, the airwaves and allow the voices of my panelists to come in. So I would like, first of all, to allow Julia Roncoroni to introduce herself. And I would like, Julia, if you can speak about that new report that the Latino Community Foundation has put out.
Hi, thank you so much, Rosana, for having me. The report was released at the very beginning of May, and like you said, discusses the impact of COVID-19 on Latinos and especially immigrants. We know that Latinos in Colorado make up about 22% of the state's population. And at this point, from the data that we have, which is very, very limited, we know that Hispanic Coloradans make up 38% of all the cases. And the report goes into both covering these demographics and also explaining some of the rationale behind why Latinos are hurting so much at this point in our state. And part of that has to do with social determinants of health, like inadequate housing or inadequate transportation. And on the other hand, how the policies that have been released as a response to COVID-19 have provided some relief for Latinos, but not really enough. So we are at this point, Latinos, for example, are not eligible, especially undocumented immigrants I'm thinking of, are not eligible for unemployment benefits. They did not receive any of the stimulus, that financial stimulus that was released by the government. And so we, as a community, we're really hurting.
That's Julia Roncoroni. She's a PhD at the University of Denver in the Department of Counseling Psychology, and she's talking about the Latino Community Foundation recent report about COVID-19 impacting Latinos and immigrants. Thank you, Julia, for that, clarification, because the numbers are, they speak wonders. They speak big. I would like right now to have the opportunity to open the airwaves to Laura Soto, Operations Manager from Philanthropies Foundation, Voces Unidas, United Voices, Grassroots. And, there's so many questions, there's so many things, but I would like for you to please explain the United Voices, the Voces Unidas, and how this started. And it's stronger even more now.
As we were explaining in the beginning, Voces Unidas is a small local grassroots project. It started last year when we knew that our younger immigrant community was under attack with the threatening cancellation of the DACA program. At this point, the DACA program is still under threat. And since last year, we've noticed that many of our youth, especially those who are in school, are suffering from increased anxiety, mental health issues, depression, you name it. So those of us who work directly with the community, and here I am focusing on our youth who are part of our school district, we noticed that the youth simply were withdrawing, to put it simply. And this is an issue, like I said, that has been historical. We've seen it increasing over time, this withdrawal from the youth and increase in mental health issues. So it's pretty obvious that once we are hit with yet another crisis, like the crisis stemming from COVID-19, you will see an even bigger increase on mental health issues and anxiety in a community who was already under attack. So all I have to say is that we were very fortunate. We do have immigrant-led nonprofits. We have immigrant-led movements and projects at the local level where we are in constant communication with our community. We live in the community. We breathe and live the same issues as everyone else in the immigrant community. So we are well aware of where the disparities exist locally. And that is why Voces Unidas was able to quickly bring this to the attention of the bigger agencies and propose that we have a special type of collaboration where we could attend to these increasing disparities and increasing needs in the immigrant community here in Boulder County.
Laura Soto, Operations Manager from Philanthropies Foundation, and also Voces Unidas, United Voices, Grassroots Collaborative. It is so exciting. It's so wonderful just to think about that everybody is coming together and that it has taken a crisis to do this. But I have to point out, it is so wonderful that within the community, it's this movements are forming and that are becoming really strong. Thank you, Laura Soto. I would like now for Jorge de Santiago, Executive Director of El Centro Amistad, to talk about Amistad and what the amazing work that you guys have been doing recently. And I have to be open here. I have had the opportunity to experience the emotional support via Zoom and all the platforms that you have offered. You have also offered amazing support for keeping on the exercising without having to pay. This is amazing. Please, Jorge Santiago, tell us about your organization and also if you can make a reflection about other crises that you have seen in the, you know, live with your community.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, well, Centro Miscar is a number of organizations funded back in 2001. And since then, we have seen several different issues that have impacted our community locally and at the state level. You know, I can recall the latest was the flood in 2013, what really affected several immigrant families. And that we were there to facilitate connections for relief as well. You know, when FEMA was here, we tried to connect families with the right officials and try to document a lot of inequities that were happening at that time. And pretty much, you know, at the same time when that was happening is when Amistad was kind of transitioned from really being more like an advocacy organization reacting to more proactive in terms of being more strategic for what can we do for the community. So we adopted back in 2013 an initiative that was created by community members and pretty much focusing on health, equity, education, and wellness. And pretty much since then, we have seen the greatest need in our community, especially with families with children that are, you know, at the schools, at in our community, in the social environment that we live at. And we started providing free cost programming in terms of wellness, education, and everything under the lens of equity. I think one of the biggest challenges that people don't understand it. Everything, you know, living in Boulder, it's a community where it's very fit. Everybody's very fit. Everybody's have access to wellness activities, you know, like yoga, meditation, fitness in general. And our community members didn't have that kind of access. So we started thinking, so what can we do so we can have the opportunity for people to really have the same experience in Boulder? And we started creating groups, you know, wellness groups. And during that time, one of the biggest things, you know, they already mentioned, you know, from the Latino Community Foundation and Laura Soto, you know, the mental health issue has been one of the biggest priorities in our community that we have to tag. So 2 years ago, we created a program that we call Wellness Circles. You know, it's programming where we provide free counseling and coaching to really address and manage your stress, anxiety in general. Even before this year, by COVID-19 life that we are living in right now, people were taking advantage because we see that under the new administration was bringing a lot of stress to a lot of undocumented families in our community. So that was one of the biggest concerning that community people had. And so during these issues that we have in our community right now, we said we can't stop. So we went to use the technology platforms and start saying, you know, we can do support groups over Zoom line. The other thing was we created a lot of groups, exercise, and so people can have physical activity. You know, we combine the physical activity with healthy eating and exercise. So mental health is one of the biggest ones. So providing every day during the week, you know, exercise and support groups, it's been really amazing to really see the response from people. You know, we have an average of groups between 15 to 45 people attending each group. We know there's still the struggles of a lot of families don't have access to technology. They don't have access to internet. They don't have access to a computer so they can actually use the platforms that exist. So you can see right there, you know, the percentage of Latino families who are participating in our groups is small compared to the need in the whole community. So it's still a big inequity issue right there, because we don't have the resources to provide to every single family the same access as everyone else.
Yeah, it is an issue of access. Thank you, Jorge Santiago, Executive Director of El Centro Amistad. You have pointed so many things that are so important. And I want to say the schedule of Amistad and the emotional support goes from Monday to Friday, and you can access all those classes, you know, later on, because they are saved in different platforms, Facebook, Zoom. You know, it's amazing what you have done and how Elena Aranda was also explaining the learning curve for you guys and for the people that are following. I want to go back to an issue that you pointed out and that also Laura Soto pointed out, that is the emotional crisis that we are right now facing, and much more our Latino and immigrant communities and those undocumented that see themselves without the federal support. And go back to Julia Roncoroni, because she is the specialist in this area. And I would like you to tell us, what can we do?
Yes, mental health is a huge, I mean, historically, it's been a huge concern for our community when you think of experiences of discrimination, marginalization. In a report that was done, funded by the Colorado Health Foundation, very recently, they asked participants how concerned they were about any lasting negative impact that COVID might have on their mental health or the mental health of someone in their household. And while non-Hispanics said 13% of non-Hispanics said that they were very concerned, the rate for Hispanics was 17%. So we are adding, we're mounting one trauma on top of the other. We are, you know, historically have been more marginalized, oppressed, left out of the table at times of making decisions. And then now we add being in the front lines and sustaining the U.S. economy in so many ways. And so that of course, leads to increased anxiety, increased depression, increased suicidal ideation, substance use. So the situation is very dire for our community.
Yeah, the situation is really difficult. While I was doing my interviews, I heard words like exposable. We are being more exposable. We are being more expendable. And words like that really hit me. Thank you. Thank you, Julia Roncoroni, for your data and for your input. I would like Laura Soto now to follow up, because if you listened to the Trends podcast this morning, you also had another DACA recipient like Laura Soto speaking about this reality and the hard idea of being exposable and being excluded from support. Laura.
Thank you, Rosanna. I want to highlight the fear factor in the immigrant community, right? It's not just the stemming mental health issues from anxiety. It is also the historical fear factor. People who come from immigrant communities have, like Julia was saying, generational trauma. So this fear factor, the fear to act upon and actually ask for resources, is the biggest barrier in the immigrant community. Not just language, not just cultural competency that the institutions who give out the resources, the aid, have to have better cultural competency, have to bring down the language access barrier. On top of that, our immigrant community still struggles with the fear factor. And this involves fear from persecution of the government, fear from institutionalized racism, fear from all kinds of discrimination and aggressions that they have in fact experienced throughout their lives, through many generations. And to ask for help at this time of great crisis is yet another barrier because of the fear factor. This is the reason why I also wanted to highlight the great work that Centro Amistad is doing Jorge was talking about the wonderful health programs that they have. But additional to that, they have also been extremely helpful in overcoming this fear factor, because we need trusted immigrant-led organizations like El Centro Amistad, where our community sees themselves represented. They see themselves in the people who are there to help them, and they can more easily be referred to those important resources that we do have available in Boulder County. We are very privileged in Boulder County to have great resources to help families. However, these resources are not equally accessed by the immigrant community. And this is why it's so needed to have organizations like Centro Amistad and the collaboration of other immigrant-led organizations that we do have in Boulder County, so that people can be helped in their own language with dignity, with respect, and they could be appropriately referred to the exact contact where they are needing the immediate aid. Again, that is part of the plan behind this initiative that Philanthropy Foundation took on after hearing the petition from Voces Unidas, right? The initiative of establishing an UNDOCU relief fund to benefit our immigrant community directly. As part of the plan, we also knew we had to integrate the help from important organizations like El Centro Amistad, El Comité de Longmont, El Paso Movement, so that we made sure that our immigrant community, in fact, was getting the help they needed, not just from the UNDOCU Relief Fund, which is very little compared to the great needs they have, but in a complementary service where they could have some kind of case management and resource referral system, so that they can have that extra help navigating all the systems just to get the basic needs met from other resource centers.
Basic needs in a moment when, like you heard in the podcast, you know, people are desperate. They don't have jobs. They don't have an income. Suddenly, all those service jobs have disappeared. And for a lot of people, this is a huge struggle. And I would like now to, you know, to point what you said, the fear and also the trust in organizations and in the people that's behind those organizations that represent our community too, to go and ask for resources. Jorge de Santiago, you have gone through the flood crisis in 2013. What do you see different from that crisis to this one? And what can we do to support people that are not having the supports that others have? What comes to my mind is a lot of people right now that are struggling. Jorge.
Yes, I mean, I don't think I can compare the 2013 to the COVID-19 situation. I think this is devastating, you know, not just for our local community, immigrant community, to the whole, pretty much. And I think one of the things that I want to retake is the trauma that this is going to pretty much leave, you know, permanently to a lot of undocumented families. You know, we have families who really lost their jobs. We have families who we have been supporting that have been infected with the virus, the whole family. So recovering from this is going to be very hard. So I think looking for the future, I think we need to have systems in place that will continue support our communities. You know, fortunately, you know, compared to 2013 to now, in our organization, we had the fortune that we have promotoras de salud, you know, health promoters, who their task has been to educate our community about the negative impacts of sugary drinks and the what the really affects, you know, like diabetes in our communities, obesity, and heart diseases. But now our promotoras have become, you know, and been trained as we speak, you know, as case managers, because the need is there. So these tempromotoras that we had in our organization, they are trusted in our community. They are part of the community. They even been affected by and impacted by the virus. They lost their jobs. You know, their husband lost their jobs. So we have to be really conscious about what this is really impacting. And if you look at the future, is that what people can actually do is really understand that this is not going to be easy for just everybody just to open the door, walk out of the door, and retake your life. You know, for a lot of these families, you know, it's going to be a struggle. And we're not talking for the next month or so, for the next 12 months. They are already behind in a lot of payments. Some people, they're afraid of what's going to happen in the future, if they're going to have a job or not. And I think, you know, having these funds available that we can distribute to our communities has been very helpful. I think we have to understand that in crisis like this, we have to come together and in do whatever you can. I think at this point, families really need financial support more than anything to really overcome their expenses that they have to deal, because they have a lot of bills to pay. And I think this fund, the philanthropists created, has been a perfect example of how do we mobilize communities to really support others in our communities. You know, we create campaigns for several different issues, you know, and I think this is a human issue that we have to address, not only in our community, in the whole country. We have to really be conscious about that a lot of these workers, they won't receive any financial support from the government. They can't access any unemployment benefits. So how are they going to be really maintaining their families, you know, supporting their families? You know, this is the question that we get. You know, I was just speaking with a family who in the whole, three members of the family got infected. The three family members, they lost their jobs. And right now, they're at home recovering from this. So like this is other people who are really, struggling. But I think one of the biggest concern is what can we do in terms of really supporting the young population as well, you know, the teenagers and the children. You know, we have to be really proactive and creative about creating systems that I mentioned before that will support these issues in the future. So I will ask, you know, anybody if they really want to support, you know, to go and support and donate to this relief fund that is being created by philanthropies, because I think that's a good way to contribute and participate, you know, in the recovery for these communities. You know, we're here to support them. We're here to facilitate the access to other resources in our community. We have a great collaboration with public health and EFA in locally here. You know, the partnership that we have with philanthropies and El Comité and the PASO movement has been, I think, exceptional in a way that the three organizations led by immigrants, we supporting each other, and we creating a movement that really will make a difference to our community.
A movement.
I think that, yes, it's a movement, and we can't be reactive, I say, but we're doing this, but we have to start thinking for the future. You know, what can we do for the next 6 months?
Jorge de Santiago with Centro Amistad. I do not have anything else to add, but I want to thank you deeply to all of you that have participated today, Julia Roncoroni, Laura Soto, and Jorge de Santiago, in this follow-up conversation after the Trends podcast was aired today. You are listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins, and I want to again thank the support of Make Conrad today for the production of this podcast, and I also want to thank the support of Evan Perkins for the support of, you know, getting all of us connected via the technology. Thank you so much. I just want to say this conversation will continue, and thank you so much for all the wonderful information, and hopefully we will get together one day and we will keep on supporting our community. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.